What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Locked On Eagles. It's Locked On the Mock, episode number 3 here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you here on this Thursday edition of the show alongside Gino Camilleri. We're running it back on the mock, Gino. Last time we had Josh Jacobs in the first round out of Alabama, Titus Howard in the second, offensive tackle. We went Charles Omenihu in the second round as well, the edge rusher from Texas. Some other guys of late that we got, Terry McLaurin, the Ohio State wide receiver, Jaquan Johnson, the safety out of Miami. So I liked our first mock together on Locked in the Mock episode 2.
Yeah, it was nice to not have to go around the league and go through the first round,
right.
But it's nice to address the Eagles' needs, and luckily this time we have an updated draft simulator through the Draft Network. Guys are luckily enough part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're going to have to get them on sooner or later. But if
our
you
guys from the Draft Dudes.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't checked out their mock draft simulator yet, it's the best one I've seen in my entire life. It's very spot on. They made it. They tailored it to try and address how they think coaches are going to how GMs are going to pick in this draft. And I think it's really realistic. There's not Josh Jacobs lasting till the third and fourth round.
Which,
this year,
yeah, right,
in the
exactly.
third and fourth round. It's very realistic. I've probably done 15, 20 of them already. They just added comp picks, and I'm happy to get into that today because those comp picks add a ton of value. In the fourth and sixth, there is so much talent in this class. I was just talking to Lou before we started. I think in rounds 2, 4, and 6, where they have multiple picks, is where the value lines up in this draft. Like, the first round, of course, it's going to be top-heavy. I think you're going to still be able to get a ton of value at 25, but 53 and 57, and then you get into the fourth with those two, and then the sixth, they're going to find positions of need and address those positions of need with those picks. And I said it the other day when I joined Reese on his show, I think they're going to find their way back into the third round in this draft.
I think that's interesting, and if they could get that, I mean, you would have four picks in the first three rounds. I mean, that's crazy, too. And look, you talk about the later rounds having another fourth-round pick as the Eagles got a fourth compensatory pick and a sixth-round compensatory pick. I think it was the Trey Burton move and going to Chicago and Patrick Robinson to New Orleans are the two compensatory picks that the Eagles get. And look, the Eagles have had some success later on in the draft the past couple of years. Avante Maddox in the fourth round last year. One of the key reasons the secondary was able to turn it around down the stretch last year and get into the playoffs, and Avante Maddox moved to the outside. He played safety. He played nickel. You look at, Halepuʻiluʻivaʻitai, although he's not a starting left tackle. I mean, look what he did filling in for Jason Peters down the stretch of the Super Bowl run in 2017. Jalen Mills was a seventh-round pick. So, you know, even a Wendell Smallwood in the fifth round, while you hope to get more out of a fifth-round running back, Wendell Smallwood still last year was at times your most efficient running back, which, of course, more shines a light on the problems at the position. But even Smallwood, you got something out of. So the Eagles have had success in Corey Clement undrafted, Josh Adams, the list goes on and on. They've had success later on in the draft with Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas trying to find these diamonds in the rough. So we're going to try to do the same here in this third edition of Locked on the Mock. We're going to go rounds 1 through 2. The Eagles have three picks in those rounds, three picks in the first two rounds. So the first segment, we're going to go picks 25th overall, 21st overall in the second round, and then 25th overall. And those are picks 53 and 57 in the entire draft. And then second segment, we'll do rounds 4 through 7. The Eagles do not have a third right now. Hopefully they do get back into it. And then the third segment, we'll kind of get into who the quote-unquote experts have the Eagles taking in mock drafts around NFL media. And also, the Eagles met with a boatload of players at the Combine today, so we'll kind of get into some of the notable names that the Eagles met with today as well, because you only get 60 official meetings with prospects at the Combine, and there's 300 players that are there. So it does mean something when the Eagles meet with these players. But without further ado, let's get to it. Let's start the third edition of Locked on the Mock, Episode 3. Mock draft courtesy of thedraftnetwork.com. Check out their podcast, The Draft Dudes, through the Locked On Podcast Network. Some great draft coverage if you want to continue to learn about this 2019 draft class. All right, let's start it up. The Cardinals with the first overall pick take Quinton Williams. We're rolling here. The Eagles pick at 25. So, Gino, we got Josh Jacobs at 25 last draft. And it looks like he is going to be available once again. But for the sake of our listeners and you know, based on history, the Eagles have not taken a running back in the first two rounds since LeSean McCoy. Let's say they stick with that strategy. Let's say that maybe they're more interested in a guy like David Montgomery in the second round, or a Miles Sanders or a Justice Hill, one of those type of players. Let's see if they try to go for the value guys. So we're going to pass on Josh Jacobs here. Let's look at some of the other best player available. You got the two tight ends out of Iowa. We're not adding another tight end this year. You. We got plenty maybe with Zach Ertz and draft. Dallas Goedert. Yeah. Right, maybe another blocking tight end later on. We can find our Brent Celek 2.0. Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle out of Clemson. I like the idea of him more than Dexter Lawrence. I think he has more pass rush ability, and who knows if Tim Jernigan's going to come back, so maybe Wilkins a good idea. Kelvin Harmon of NC State, a wide receiver. The Eagles could use a third receiver in this offense. You got Montez Sweat, who I know you're not a big fan of, on the edge.
Not
at 25.
State.
Not at 25, right? At the 25. Value here maybe a little bit too high for Sweat. Jeffrey Simmons out of Mississippi State.
Mississippi
I know
State.
He tore his ACL, and we were talking about this before the show, but if he's available at 25, especially if they bring back Jernigan, or say they bring back a Bo Allen or some, you know, value free agent signing at the position with Fletcher Cox and Trayvon Hester hopefully taking another step this year, I like the idea of Jeffrey Simmons here because, like you said, I think last show, you're probably going to get him down the stretch for the 2019 playoff push.
Yeah, so if you look at it in the context of an ACL injury, it's come a long way from what it was a couple years ago when you guys were out for over a year.
Yeah, it's not
a
devastating injury anymore.
We look at Ray to Carson Wentz. He was ready to go at the beginning of the season. Could he have went probably week one? I think so.
I think he wanted to.
I think the organization played it a little safe, and maybe they hit the panic button around week three. But this Eagles team has a luxury, and we continue to say that this team likes to draft for not next year, but 2 to 3 years down the road. And funny enough, Howie Roseman said it yesterday, so he's just echoing the sentiment that I've been talking about
for a long
time. And
they have that flexibility, too, right now. Like, they have a core intact that, while it's not one of the younger in the league, it's also not one of the older. A lot of these core players
and
are still
it's a
in their
skilled
prime.
Core.
Yeah, so they're not in a desperate need. The only thing I think they would really need to add is if they lose Jason Peters and they need a left tackle. But outside of that, there's not a position right now that they don't have that's going to significantly hold them back next year. You even saw, I mean, running back, they need a running back, but they almost made it to the NFC title game with Wendell Smallwood and Josh Adams. So I agree with you that future needs is something that they can prioritize right now.
Absolutely. And you look at this team right now. Their front four is a strength. They're going to address it in the offseason. They've made it known. We've heard the rumors about it in free agency that they plan on going after an edge rusher. You have still Fletcher Cox, the best defensive tackle, in my opinion, in the NFL. You can get by with Trayvon Hester. Maybe you renegotiated Tim Jernigan.
Michael Bennett plays inside.
Exactly. If Jeffrey Simmons is a top 10 player on your board at 25, you ignore the ACL injury because, one, you can get him back. He's a big boy. And those positions where you're not cutting as much and you're just getting into the backfield, you don't have to have a 100% ACL. Like, 85%, he's playing. Like, no doubt in my mind.
And
he's got all the burst off the line. He has the power. If he's sitting there, I can justify taking him, one, because you have the depth there. It's not like this Eagles team of a couple years ago at the wide receiver position where you probably would have drafted one right away to contribute.
Yep.
This defensive line all around from the edge to the interior is solid. So you add a guy like Simmons who's a top 10 player on many scouts' boards outside of his off-field concerns, outside of his injury, you have to take him at 25. I just think it's too silly of a pick not to make if he's there. I think he presents you more value over Christian Wilkins right now, over Dexter Lawrence. I think you can get safety depth. I think you could get wide receiver depth. I just think if you can add a talent of a Jeffrey Simmons at 25, you can even double up at that position later in the draft. Grab a guy like a Daniel Wise or a Kalen Saunders, who we talk about all the time. I just think, in my opinion, at 25, if Jeffrey Simmons is there, Howie Roseman better run up to the goddamn podium and take him.
I think especially with the players available, you know, you got two tight ends. Wilkins, I prefer Simmons, truthfully, over Wilkins, even
Definitely.
With the injury. Montez Sweat a little too rich, or not rich enough here, at pick 25.
If you're picking like 30 to 32, I would take him there.
And then, you know, like Deontay Thompson, safety at Alabama, I'm with you here. I think Jeffrey Simmons is the best value pick even with the injury. I say we go with Simmons.
Yeah, if you can get him back right around end of October, mid-November,
I'm with
some fresh legs. You look at all these teams like the Rams, they loaded up on edge. You look at the MLB and teams that load up on their bullpen. I like to look at that front four as almost like a bullpen. the more defensive tackles that you have that could get after the quarterback and the more edge rushers that you have that are fresh and could get after the quarterback are going to come into play down the road and into that playoff push, which we expect this Eagles team to fully make it back to that position.
And you saw Tim Jernigan add a much-needed boost in the interior. 2 sacks in the playoffs. If you can get a guy like Simmons in there next to Fletcher Cox, those two, the Mississippi State boys, that could be a dynamic duo. So we're taking Jeffrey Simmons out of Mississippi State here at pick 25. We are back up on the clock at pick 53 in the second round. And it's a lot more fun this year, Gino, in the draft. The Eagles get 2 picks in the second round, and it's not like one's at the top and one's at the bottom. You got 53 overall and 57, so we get 2 nice players really quickly. Some available players still here. David Edwards, the offensive tackle out of Wisconsin. A.J. Brown, receiver out of Mississippi. There's a corner here from Penn State. I'm not into drafting corners right now.
No, thank you.
Running backs, you got David Montgomery or Daryl Henderson. Both met with the Eagles today. I'd like both of those guys.
I see Juan Thornhill still up there. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
I don't know, man. I think right here, I'm not a big fan of David Edwards out of Wisconsin.
No, he's been talked about a lot. Because he's a Wisconsin guy.
I think so, too.
And that's what's kind of overrated him. And I think at this 53 pick, that, like I said prior to starting this, there's so much value here. And I think that 57 pick, if you can move down 10 spots right there, which we obviously can't on this mock draft simulator, I think this is a perfect position. Grab your guy at 53, and then if you see a ton of talent on the board at 57 a couple picks later, move back and try and grab another, say, a fourth or fifth round pick that you could utilize to trade back up into the third round. But here, I think there's a fool's gold here. You have a Juan Thornhill. You could take Brown, the receiver, out of Ole Miss. If he's still there, you have to highly consider taking another wide receiver. And there's still plenty of offensive tackles on the board. If I had to go here, I'd say go with Thornhill. Get the safety that you can develop. He can come in, be a ball hawk right away. There's some parts of his game that he still needs to develop, but I think the safety depth after those first 4 guys kind of falls off a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for a surefire guy to take the reins of Rodney McLeod or Malcolm Jenkins, I go Thornhill. I'd like to see what you're thinking at here. But you can also look at the edge position because that falls off as well. So there's many things to consider.
That's the thing is right here, like this is when we talk about, so I'm not a guy that thinks teams just take solely best player available.
Definitely.
But at the same time, I don't think there's someone that takes – You know, just solely off need either. Like
Definitely.
Right here, we're not stretching it. We're not going to take a Zach Allen here.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
The 84th ranked edge rusher, but he's the best of it, or 84th ranked player overall. He's the best edge rusher available at 53. Not really a fan of that. So I don't know here. I don't know if the Eagles are going to want to invest this high of a pick in receiver.
Yeah, I don't think
especially
so
when there's a guys available like, you know, we talk a lot about John Brown's a guy me and you really want in this free agent class, and it's going to be like your fifth passing option anyway. I like Thornhill here.
Yeah, I think
because you're going to need not only do you use 3 safeties so much on this defense, more so than you use 2 linebackers,
mm-hmm.
but like McLeod's contract, it's pretty much done after this
Absolutely.
Year. So like McLeod, you're really in on it as him as a starter for 1 more year, and Malcolm Jenkins on the other side of 32. So I say Thornhill here out of Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you people have not checked him out yet, he's a hell of a talent out of Virginia. They had a very good defensive back grouping. He made plays all over the field. I think he had 8 interceptions last year, if I'm not mistaken. And this team, we saw the impact, the 2017 to 2018 differential in turnovers made. You need to get somebody in there that's going to make plays.
That's a good
because,
point.
Frankly,
it's a very
what
good
did
point.
We see out of the cornerbacks last year that made you think that they can go out and make plays? I mean, Cravon LeBlanc was the only one making plays towards the end of the
right,
season.
Right, the strengths of those corners really aren't. I mean, Rasul Douglas is, but.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, Sidney Jones was more so a guy that you didn't really. When he started in the slot, you didn't really hear his name a whole
mm-hmm.
lot when he was playing well because he was just locking guys down. But even Avante Maddox more so is a guy that's. He's a big hitter for his size.
Absolutely.
Makes plays on the ball, but you don't have that. You know, crazy nose for interceptions like you used to have in a guy like
mm-hmm.
Asante Samuel back in the day. So I like the pick of Thornhill in the second round. We're back up at pick 57, and I'm really into one of these running backs, Gino. David Montgomery or Daryl Henderson. I think it's time to add a do-it-all running back, even if one of these guys isn't going to be the RB1. You know, Peterson talked about using multiple running backs. I think having a committee of, let's say, a TJ Yeldon, Corey Clement, and then a guy like a Daryl Henderson or a David Montgomery. While Montgomery is slower than Henderson, has some cut ability. They're comparing Devin Singletary to LeSean McCoy, but I'm seeing a lot of similarities in Montgomery's game too, and he's got soft hands. I like these two running backs.
Out of the two, I think Henderson just provides you more bang for your buck. I think Montgomery kind of had a couple games that skewed his overall talent and his ability on the field. Those were outlier games that really made him look better than he was. He has talent, but he has a lot of tread on his tires. That's a tough division to play in.
And he's not nearly as explosive as Henderson. Like, there's some vertical routes. There's not a lot. But when you see Henderson get down the field on these wheel routes that we saw Darren Sproles last year, like Byron Houston with.
Absolutely.
He can get down there.
Yeah, I think so. I want to take just a look at the offensive tackle depth here because you got to be
Michael
aggressive
Dieter
here.
From Wisconsin, 61. Outside of that, kind of drops off. We don't have another tackle for a while.
Yeah, so best player available, I think you stick with the running back like you're saying. If I had to take one of the two, I'm taking Henderson. They met with Henderson today. They met with Montgomery as well. I think they'd be fine with taking any of those three backs. I think this is the year they finally realize that they have to take a back.
And they need speed, too, just on offense in general. So definitely. I think I prefer Henderson here, too.
Yeah, and I know how much you love Dalvin Cook. I actually read a comp of Daryl Henderson to Dalvin Cook.
I think
today.
It was Fran Duffy that.
Yep, you're correct. So
all right,
let's go Dalvin Cook 2.0. All right. Let's take Daryl Henderson.
Let's right the wrong of the Minnesota Vikings in the 2017 draft. That although
it's
it did get us Sidney Jones
and everything.
So
yeah.
That's right. Yeah, they even look alike. So let's recap our first three picks in the first two rounds at pick 25. We got Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle out of Mississippi State. Kind of give him some time to grow. As he recovers from that torn ACL, hopefully you bring back Tim Jernigan in this scenario or have another guy to play with Cox. And then in the future, you just run Cox and Simmons just wrecking havoc in the interior. Second round picks, 53 overall. We take Juan Thornhill, the safety out of Virginia. And then we finally take a running back for the first time in rounds one or two since LeSean McCoy. We take Daryl Henderson at pick 57, the running back out of Memphis. So I like our first three picks. Two defensive players. You get that running back finally to pair up with Carson Wentz. Add more speed to the offense. I'm excited about this third edition of Locked on the Mock so far. Let's take a break here on Locked on the Mock Episode 3. When we come back, we'll get to the Eagles' picks round 4 through 7. They don't have a third, but they have 2/4. Plenty of picks left in this draft. Don't go anywhere. This is Locked on Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked on the Mock, Episode 3, Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. If you missed any of our previous shows, you can always go to LockedOnEagles.com, our Twitter accounts, at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, or at Gino_LOE, or just tell your smart device to play the Locked on Eagles podcast. You're making your commute to work, you're making your commute back home, the kids going to football, baseball, whatever. Listen to Locked on Eagles. Get excited about some of these picks. We got Jeffrey Simmons, Juan Thornhill, and Daryl Henderson. Gino, so far I'm pretty excited about the pool we're racking up right here.
Yeah, if this is the three guys that they take right off the bat, I think you're sitting pretty. I think this was a very high potential to actually be the three positions that they take in the first three rounds.
Are there any other positions you think maybe? I think defensive line obviously is a favorite.
Definitely.
So is running back.
I think offensive tackle is probably the one that we left out. And this is what I'm thinking after we made that last selection. I'm thinking Howie Roseman has nearly 70 picks until his next pick after 57.
Yeah.
He's going to find a way back into that third round. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a player move and a lower pick to move up. But I just can't see it the way Howie Roseman is drafted in the past that he's going to wait 70 selections before he makes his next pick.
This scenario, too, if we went with an interior, we went with a safety and a running back, I think this definitely shows that the Eagles probably take one of the bigger name free agents on the edge. You know what I'm saying?
I think they
definitely address edge rusher in free agency. I think they need to.
I think they realize that after those top four or five guys, after your Jakai Polites, after your Brian Burns, your Josh Allen, that there's a little bit of a fall off.
Yeah.
Do they see the depth there? Yeah, I'm sure that their scouts understand that there's depth at that position still. But there's more depth at positions like safety,
agreed,
like running back, like interior defensive line and offensive tackle than there are edge in this class. So like they said and like the rumors are saying, for them to address that edge position in free agency, I think is the go-to move. One, because there's so much talent there that these contracts are going to drop. I mean, the Cowboys bring back Jason Witten today. I'm continually...
I thought was a joke, truthfully, when I saw it.
Yeah, you got to love being in the NFC East. It's always a
thrill. Here come those four-yard curl routes. Let's go.
But I've been saying for a long time, and I'm going to go back and find it when it eventually comes to reality, that DeMarcus Lawrence is making his way to free agency. He's going to get paid a boatload of money, and that's going to drive the market for all these other edge rushers. Brandon Graham's going to get a deal. If Frank Clark hits, he's going to get a deal. There's going to be talent there. Could you bring back a Vinnie Curry to address that position? Yeah. Can you bring back
a guy like Zardarius Smith from Baltimore?
Yeah, there you
go. Joe Douglas loves his Ravens.
A Preston Brown from Washington who's not going to get tagged. There's going to be plenty of options in free agency at that position, and I think if you're going to take one, you're going to go in free agency because you're not in the top 15 of this draft. If a Jakai Polite falls, maybe you get on the phones trying to move up, but I just don't see it happening for the needs that these teams up top do need to address.
And they still added a pass rusher. This is the thing. Mike Mayock, the Raiders GM, said today when he was asked about the importance of an edge rusher compared to a defensive tackle, and he said, look, having a premier pass rusher in the middle is almost more effective than an edge rusher, because he talked to a bunch of quarterbacks every year when he was on NFL Network running the draft, pretty much the entire coverage, and said quarterbacks hate it more when there's pressure up the middle because it hurts your footwork. It doesn't let you settle in and step up in the pocket. So, we still add a pass rusher here in Jeffrey Simmons to go along with Fletcher Cox in the middle. I mean, that's like what the Rams did, having Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh in the middle. Eventually, they did add Dante Fowler, but we got to remember, too, the Eagles still have two really good pass rushers in Derek Barnett and Michael Bennett. Like, they're not screwed.
It's not a dire need to get an edge.
Yeah, but this is, again, we're talking about future needs. This is not something that if they don't add, they could add nothing, and to me, they'd still be okay.
Mm-hmm.
We want more because we love having 3 to 4 pass rushers like we've had with Chris Long and Vinnie Curry and Michael Bennett and Brandon Graham and Barnett and just this rotation. Like, it's awesome, but I mean, they do already have pieces there, so they're not totally screwed if they don't add one in the first two rounds. So we're up now at pick 127 in the fourth round. We have a defensive tackle, a safety, and a running back. I think offensive line's another need that they have. I think now's when we start looking at receiver more, try to add some speed on the outside. A linebacker maybe at this point, Jordan Hicks. I don't think he's coming back. I still think despite the injuries, he's going to get a pretty decent deal in free agency that the Eagles just won't match considering the way they used him down the stretch and they used linebackers in general, especially with Nigel Bradham still in the mix. Some of the best players available here, DeMarcus Lodge. He's the 99th overall player, so he's dropped about 28 spots of where his projected placement in the draft is. Wide receiver out of Mississippi, and he's got some burns. He can get down the field for sure. He's definitely got some juice. Keyshawn Johnson from Fresno State receiver. We got a lot of running backs still here, but we already got our guys.
He bulked up over 15 pounds from the East-West Shrine game to the combine weigh-in today, which is pretty incredible.
Paris Campbell, the burner out of Ohio State that I expect to run under a 4.4 at the combine this weekend.
Yeah, he's another manufactured touches guy that we were talking about. If we can try to avoid a Golden Tate-esque type player.
Yeah,
there's interior defensive linemen here, too. Maybe you double up because you have to get somebody to replace Simmons for the early part of the year.
Daniel Wise out of Kansas.
I liked him. I mocked him the other day to the Eagles. He's a big boy, can put up a bunch of reps on the bench press. He's got a bunch of power off the line, good first step. Wouldn't hate the pick at all, but I think here's another position. Look at the wide receivers. There's so much depth, and you're picking in 11 picks from now. So what do you value here? Do you value another interior defensive lineman? Is there an offensive tackle on the board? Because
the best one's Bobby Evans out of Oklahoma, 134 overall. We're at 127.
Yeah, he's a little bit under the radar as opposed to the other Oklahoma tackles.
I know Oli Udoh's at 188. I really like him coming
in. I like Udoh.
But I think we could probably get him later on.
I think so, too. I think that this is exactly what I was talking about, that this is the position where there's so much depth that I'm not going to be mad unless this Eagles team really screws it up and picks a quarterback or something stupid here. But I'd be fine with taking a Daniel Wise. I'd be fine with taking a DeMarcus Lodge. I'd be fine with a Paris Campbell. I'll leave this one to you.
Look, I think with a pick at 138, I think one of those receivers are going to be available.
I think so, too.
Kalen Saunders is still there, defensive tackle, but I think Daniel Wise, if he fell this far and you add him to the rotation, again, you can never have too many defensive linemen. And with Tim Jernigan, even if they bring him back, it's probably on a one-year prove-it deal.
Mm-hmm.
You can go in the future, the year after with Fletcher Cox, Jeffrey Simmons, and Daniel Wise is a nice insurance policy for Jeffrey Simmons.
I have to get younger and
cheaper.
Yeah,
I'm in on it. All right, let's do it. We'll take Daniel Wise in the fourth round, another defensive tackle out of Kansas.
We're picking in 12 picks.
And we're coming up here, and this is where I really think we should aim for a receiver.
I think so, too.
I think it's
time
to
add that. And this is another
trade
back position. Maybe they want to trade back here.
DeMarcus Lodge is still available. Do you think this would be realistic?
That DeMarcus Lodge would last in a class with this many wide receivers? I would say so. I think there's other players that fit this and the needs of the Eagles here. If Paris Campbell's still there, I think they would take him. A Terry Godwin, maybe even a Penny Hart starts to rise up the board a little bit. He's down on the depth on the big board here. But
so you talked about Golden Tate and the manufactured touches thing, which I think is a really good point. Like, I don't think you should. It's tough to have players that you really have to force plays. Mm-hmm. You have to design plays for them. But I feel like with the Eagles, they were really trying to overemphasize that with Tate.
Definitely.
Because they gave up a third-round pick for him. They were trying to get him involved in the offense because he is a player that consistently would have 90-plus receptions in a season, and they were trying to get him acclimated. And Nelson Agholor kind of suffered for it. But a player to me like a Paris Campbell is someone, though, that you don't have to, while some of it might have to be manufactured, it's not something that you have to go to consistently in the offense. Like, you do not have to give that player. Like, Golden Tate did not need to have that many reps in the early stretch of him in Philadelphia. You noticed Tate's role kind of got, you know, smaller and smaller down the stretch. Agholor got more acclimated. They started spreading the ball more, whereas they were really forcing it early on. I think a lot of it had to do, too, with Wentz's health.
Mm-hmm.
But a Paris Campbell, yeah, some of it's manufactured, but you only might, especially as like a fifth passing option, we talk about all the time with Alshon, Agholor, Goddard, and Ertz. This is a player that with his dynamic speed and athleticism, he only might need one or two touches a game to have a real impact.
Yeah, to have that breakaway speed. And he's going to run a sub four, probably four.
And
two.
Agholor is the only guy that can win based on speed.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's why I think it would be a nice element to have. I'm not saying they need a deep threat. I think it's more they need another guy that can win that way because they have everything else pretty much checked off when it comes to what you have weapons-wise on offense.
Yeah.
So my vote's for Paris.
I'd be fine with that selection. We talked about it the other day when we were addressing this depth wide receiver position. I think you can get him into this game plan. I think maybe you even double up with another wide receiver in these later part of the draft because, look, we still have three picks, and we've addressed every position of need for this team.
We got some speed now here on offense. We added Daryl Henderson and Paris Campbell to Wentz's disposal. I'm excited about that, and we got some defensive tackles.
And look at all the BPAs, running backs and wide receivers. They're going to fall.
Right,
that's
a good point. So, yeah, it looks like the best player available are all running backs and wide receivers. Let's get down here. We got a corner, Isaiah Johnson out of Houston. Then we got a lot of linebackers, Gino. We got Chase Hansen out of Utah.
Ben Kirvin, man. I've been hearing his name mocked to the Eagles a lot. I haven't really watched him, but I've seen it time and time again. He was in the Pac-12 in Washington. Really took over that role for the I can't remember the linebacker he won the starting job over, but he really came into his own. It's not the best class for linebackers, but I can see them adding depth there. You're going to need somebody to challenge a Nate Gary.
Camus.
You're going to need somebody to challenge a Camus. I think a Ben Beer Kirvin is a perfect fit.
He's an explosive linebacker. Can cover, you know, I think, again, the biggest thing for linebackers now, you have to be able to cover in space.
Definitely.
Right? You have to almost be a hybrid safety.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to line up in the slot. You got to be able to cover athletic guys. Okay, Daryl Henderson, who you could line
Jason
up and get
Witten
down the field. Or you might not have to try at all and chase down 37-year-old Jason Witten, Jason Witten. But Ben Burke Kirvin, look, again, I don't think Hicks is coming back next year.
I don't think so either.
And they don't use linebacker a whole lot. But, yeah, add some competition to Camus Grugia-Hill, who showed some good things in 2018, and Nate Geary. I like Ben Burke Kirvin here.
I'm totally down with that. I think you bring in another option there in a class that isn't so strong. Maybe they see some value later in this draft, like we do.
And he fits the tradition, the modern day linebacker, for
absolutely
sure.
Yeah, the Pac-12 linebackers, you're going to see like the Travis Dyes of the world. Like, those guys are athletic, can cover in space because there's not the big banging bodies outside of Stanford in that conference.
Yeah.
So those guys have to be able to cover athletic tight ends. You've seen it time and time again. Ben Bear Kirvin is a perfect pick there.
All right, so we went linebacker there. We're back up at 197.
I'm looking OT.
Yeah, we got to add 100%. Something here to add with Jordan Mailata.
Our boy Ole's there. You got to take him.
We got Max Sharping out of Northern Illinois, Calvin Anderson out of Texas, Mitch Hyatt of Clemson, Ryan Pope out of San Diego State, who the Eagles did meet with, but I think
they
this might be a little too high for Ryan Pope.
Got to be aggressive there, though. If you could find That's a guy, true. Pope, he put up some big numbers today. They met with him at the combine as well, so those meetings are clues to who they might draft.
You only get 60 meetings.
This Eagles team 300 has done players. It time and time again. Yep. If you look back at their draft picks throughout the last couple years, they take these visits very seriously. And if they're seriously considering a guy like that, I think Pope would be an option later in this draft. Let him develop behind JP or
whoever.
Let him
compete with Maya Lotta.
A veteran guy that you bring in there. If you're not going to get a top end like a Yadni Kajust, if a Dalton Reisner's there at 25, who they also met with today, I think the plan of attack, like we discussed the other day,
yeah,
you bring in a veteran, quote, bridge left tackle.
Yeah.
Let him compete with Mailata. Let him compete with Big V. And then you take somebody who could potentially be a swing tackle for you and potentially develop into a pretty solid tackle. And I think Pope is that guy.
All right, let's go with Pope because I think the meetings really do carry significant Definitely. Weight. Because again,
for the Eagles especially.
Yeah, if you're the Eagles, you can only meet with 60 players officially, and there's 300 prospects. So, and they've already met with Ryan Pope. He was one of the first guys they met with. So that definitely means something. And you have to add another guy because while it would be amazing to have Mailata be that, you know, diamond in the rough, mm-hmm. you can't bank on that being a significant part of your future. I think he showed a lot of good things in the preseason last year, absolutely, but they definitely got to add some more, you know, plan Bs to that, mm-hmm. and you don't want to bank on Halapuli Vaati Vaitai. All right, we have another pick here, the 208 overall, the final pick. We've taken care of interior defensive line, we've taken care of running back and receiver, we got our eventual replacement for Rodney McLeod and Juan Thornhill, we got a good cover corner or linebacker in Ben Burke-Kirvin, so got to be happy with this draft class. Yeah, they had a lot of young talent to eventually take over here. And
I think
it's a
there's
lot of cheap
still,
talent.
still a lot of talent in this class. We say it, 2, 4, and 6. Those even rounds are where they're going to make their money. There's still, you can double up on wide receiver. There's plenty of running backs left. Do you take a developmental quarterback at this point in time? I think there's not a bad pick they can make this late in the draft.
So some of the running backs available, let's just say hypothetically they don't take... They don't sign a crazy free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And Daryl Henderson's really the lead back next year.
Your boy Darwin Thompson.
You could Darwin Thompson.
Divine Ozigbo, my favorite. Justice Hill probably fits more of a committee role, which this Eagles team does time and time again. I could see that happening too.
I think Justice Hill would be a steal here. I don't think that... I mean,
let's see the wide receivers. Go check out the wide receivers. Let's see what we got. I know this is bad radio here, but...
Tier Brady out of Marshall.
Jalen Hurd
on Baylor.
Big
you
boy.
Like Jamal Custis Jamal out of Custis. Syracuse.
Did you see his measurements today, Jalen Hurd? Oh, my goodness. He's 6'5" and over 200 pounds. He played running back a couple years ago, which is crazy to think about, at 6'5". But Custis, he has that ability to get downfield, too, for Syracuse. Didn't have the most productive career, but there are guys here that you could take. Lil' Jordan Humphrey out of Texas. I love that name. I'd love to see Carson throwing some bombs to him. But
His name is actually Lil Jordan Humphrey?
Oh, yeah, man.
That's awesome.
He was a Longhorn. Hook him. But I could see
Greg Dortch out of Wake Forest, too.
Yeah, Dortch. He came in a little small today at the measurements, but...
Shifty receiver, though.
Yeah,
lined
definitely.
Up everywhere.
If you want to put somebody in the slot that you can move around a little bit, Dortch would be a good pick. But I think this Eagles team maybe takes the Green Bay Packer, the Indianapolis approach of taking multiple running backs in a draft class. And with so much talent left. Ozigbo's still there. You're Justice Hill. You want to get on to Bryce Love. I'm not a fan of Bryce Love, but
I'm not a fan of Benny Snell here, who's available.
Yeah, no, I want nothing to do with Benny Snell. He had his workload taken way too much at Kentucky.
Darwin Thompson.
He kind of intrigues me.
He's 5'8", and which is actually, you know, people always talk about his size. Devin Singletary today came in at 5'7".
Yeah.
So, and it's not, you know, running backs. A lot of them are in the 5'11 mm-hmm. range, 6 foot. But Darwin Thompson at 5'8 doesn't play like he's 5'8. This is a guy that grew up watching Marshawn
contact,
Lynch.
Man.
He is really good taking on contact, super explosive in short areas. He's a great receiver.
Mm-hmm.
In like screen game, we talk about the screen game, which is a key part of Doug Peterson's offense. Darwin Thompson last year in the screen game, unbelievable when you watch the tape, just the angles. And he even talked about it when we interviewed him on Lockdown Eagles on the podcast a couple weeks ago. He talked about how he learned to take certain angles in the screen game. It's not just about speed and athleticism. It's about, you know, waiting for blocks to open up. And I thought he showed a lot of patience. And I don't think he's got crazy straight line speed, but I think he's really explosive. This is not a running back class. It's got a lot of just burners. But I think Darwin's one of the more explosive guys. And if you add him with Daryl Henderson.
Whew.
That's a lot of juice. If you went with, you know, Henderson, Darwin Thompson, and Corey Clement.
Gives you the
option
to get rid of Sproles, too.
I'm kind of ready to do.
Yeah, I'm ready for them to develop this pass-catching back, bring in a guy.
Because he's not Sproles. Like,
he's not Pumphrey either. Right. He's a smaller guy, but he will take on the contact.
He works well in the screen game.
He works out with DK Metcalf.
He's bench partners with DK Metcalf, and Thompson said he can squat about 6'15". Thompson.
Wow.
DK says he's in like the 6'5", like 6'30" range. Jeez. Like DK Metcalf's an alien. But Darwin, though, himself can squat about like 6'15", I think he said. He's almost 200 pounds. And I think if he was at the combine now, he'd weigh in about north of 200 pounds. I think he's a nice value pick here late.
I think so, too. I think you can save some money with Darren Sproles being gone. Corey Clement, he's coming into the third year of his career. Who knows if he's going to get back to his 2017 self.
And now you have three do-it-all running backs. You're not going to be as predictable as you were last year when, you know, I said
Thompson,
on the podcast.
You can line him up wide, too.
You can use him and Henderson on the field at the same time. You could do something like Cleveland does, where they have Nick Chubb out there, mm-hmm. but they also have Duke Johnson. So it's more optionality for Carson Wentz. And again, you know, we talk about you can never have too many defensive linemen. You can never have too many weapons either.
No, not at all. All right. A team that still has their quarterback on a rookie deal. We talk about how you can use that to your advantage. This team has to capitalize on these drafts, and between this year, you already have 8 picks. I think they walk away. Adam Kaplan on Inside the Birds podcast said this team predicts that they'll have anywhere from 9 to 10 when it's all said and done, which I think is realistic. Next year, you still have all of your picks. They're projected to have a bunch of comp picks. You have Nick Foles hitting free agency. You have Brandon Graham, Golden Tate, Ronald Darby. All of those guys could probably get you third and fourth round comp
picks.
Especially,
you think Darby's going to get money. He's
next year,
get
they
paid.
Can have 10, 11 picks.
Yep. Golden Tate's going to get paid. Nick Foles, it seems like Jaguars are bust at this
16, 17 million.
But
even
yeah,
that's still
you combine all these guys,
pick.
They're going to get a lot of, they're going to get some good mid round picks next year.
And this is where you have to start to develop that and develop this younger team, because you don't want to be the Seattle Seahawks, who we've talked about right. So many times. You're going to have to make tough decisions. You're going to have to let Tim Jernigan's walk. You're going to have to let Darren Sproles' walk.
Eventually, Jason Peters.
You have to find those replacements.
But the good thing is that these guys don't have to come in right away and carry this team, because like you keep saying, like future needs, because this team has been built so well that it has guys in their prime, still has older players that are mm-hmm. still playing at a high level.
And you have to find that perfect balance.
Yeah, and a Jeffrey Simmons doesn't have to come in right away and be your best pass rusher, or a Daryl Henderson doesn't have to carry the ball 30 times mm-hmm. in a game, or Paris Campbell doesn't have to be your first or second receiver. Definitely. Like, this is a guy that can come in and just be a rotational piece, mm-hmm. like a lot of the corners have been. And then when it's time to for a Rasul Douglas to step up, or an Avante Maddox, they step up to that challenge. You know, Roseman even said at the combine yesterday, you know, a lot of the time it's good to have those young guys be rotational pieces, mm-hmm. and then you see what they can do. You create opportunities for them. And I think opportunities are going to, you know, open up for these next coming draft classes with this Eagles core kind of, you know, transferring over a lot of the older pieces, and you'll get more of these draft picks in the past few years as some of the faces of the team.
Yeah, and you build the team inside out. I think you're okay offensive line right now. You're going to have to add some talent there. You're going to have to add talent at the defensive line. You're good at cornerback. You have to develop a safety. You have to develop some wide receivers. You have to develop some running backs, and we keep saying it, and we'll continue to say it until after the draft. This draft and this free agency lines up so perfectly with the needs of this Eagles team. Yep. And not just the needs for this season, but 2-3 years down the road. And that's what they're going to have to make their money off of. This is where Joe Douglas thrives. This is where Howie Roseman thrives. This is where they just brought in the gentleman from the Cleveland Browns who was under the Sashi Brown regime. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But they're bringing in those minds that are going to develop this team to have a dynasty. That's what we're aiming for, and we can't be the Seahawks. We have to turn into the Patriots, and the way they do that is letting their good talent and their big player contracts walk to get those comp picks. We talk about how comp picks actually work in reverse of how they're supposed to, because the teams that can develop talent develop those big names that go out and get their second and third big contracts. You're going to get those third and fourth round comp picks in the coming years. This Eagles team is in a prime position to bring in young talent, mold it under their current core of all pro guys like Malcolm Jenkins, Jason Kelseys, the Jason Peters, the Fletcher Cox of the world. This is the prime time to bring in that young talent. don't make the same mistakes of teams like the Seattle Seahawks, like the Denver Broncos of a couple years ago.
Right. Yeah, good point.
Develop. Develop, develop. This is the time to develop these guys. Bring in young talent from the top to the bottom of this draft. Find young talent in free agency that didn't get the best of their opportunity in their former endeavors.
Buy low, sell high.
Buy low, sell high. That's, right. That's the motto.
Let's recap real quick before we take our final break and get into Around the Mock, kind of see what some of the other experts have the Eagles taking. So we went with Jeffrey Simmons at 25. We went with Juan Thornhill, the safety out of Virginia, in the second round. And then we added a running back, finally, Daryl Henderson out of Memphis. Then in the fourth round, we went with Daniel Wise, interior defensive lineman out of Kansas. We doubled down at defensive tackle. We got Paris Campbell as well, the burner out of Ohio State. We took a coverage linebacker in the sixth round in Ben Burkervin. And then Ryan Pope, the offensive tackle out of San Diego State, who the Eagles met with at the combine today. And we wrap it up with our boy Darwin Thompson out of Utah State.
Solid draft.
I love that class. We've had a couple good mock drafts back to back.
I think so.
All right, let's take another break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, taking a look around NFL media, seeing what some other draft experts have the Eagles going with at pick 25. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, let's wrap up the show. Gino here on Locked On the Mock, episode 3 with Around the League, Around the Mock. Let's see who else has the Eagles going with at 25. So let's go to NFL.com here. Peter Schreger, and we got Brandon Brooks. We got Chad Reuter, Charlie Casserly. We got Jeffrey Simmons from Schreger, and I think that's, you know, we went with that. I think it's a good idea still, despite the ACL tear. Dexter Lawrence from Bucky Brooks, not a fan. I just don't want a nose tackle. I just think that position is kind of, especially in a 4-3 with what Schwartz
wants. We don't run a 3-4, two gaps.
And we don't blitz ever. It's just, you know, I'm not a fan of Dexter
Lawrence.
Jim Schwartz
doesn't want big.
No, he doesn't.
Big defensive tackles. You look at Benny Logan, Cedric Thornton. Else? Bo Allen. He doesn't want those guys. He wants
who
guys that can
get
after the
quarterback. Was with Chip Kelly? Isaac Sopalaga or something?
Isaac. What's his last name? Is it
Sopalaga? Yeah.
We traded
Benny
him to,
Logan beat him out.
We traded him to New England.
We got him from Miami.
Pick.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We got a pick out of that. That's wild.
Correct.
And then, let's see, Chad Reuter went with Kelvin Harmon, the receiver out of NC State.
I don't think they go receiver.
Yeah,
that
I don't
early.
Think so
unless
either.
DK Metcalf's there at 25. Yeah, take him all day long.
Josh Jacobs from Charlie Casserly. And look, again, I'm running to the podium if Jacobs is available. But we thought we'd spice it up in a different way here.
My head
25.
Will explode if Josh Jacobs.
I just can't imagine
Jeffrey
him in
Simmons,
the offense. It would be beautiful.
Christian Wilkins and Dalton Reisner are all there at 25. I won't be disappointed at any of those picks. Or Nasir Adderley. Like, there's so many guys at 25.
I know, about your boy Adderley. Let's go to John Ledyard's new mock draft on thedraftnetwork.com. At pick 25,
love Ledyard, but
Hollywood Brown, wide receiver out of Oklahoma.
No, thank you.
He came in at 164 pounds today.
Yeah,
that's small.
I'm pretty sure I could beat him in a wrestling match. Like he is.
Couldn't beat him
in a race,
though.
No, I wouldn't.
Couldn't
be able
beat
to
him
catch
in a
him,
race.
But if I did catch him, I'd take him down because he is a tiny guy. At 25, coming off of that foot injury, your only skill is speed, and he really didn't excel against those.
That's more of a luxury
pick.
I think you'd only do that if a lot of the defensive linemen are gone and Jacobs maybe gets taken. Like, let's say like Baltimore goes with Josh
Definitely.
Jacobs in the first round, and then a Marquise Brown is maybe your best player available, or a guy that, you know, at that point you're more so aiming at the second round to go for need. Mm-hmm. I don't hate the pick in that situation, but let's go, you know, some of the other guys that go after him, like a Christian Wilkins at pick 26.
Even a
I'd
Devin
rather
Bush
have Wilkins.
At linebacker I would even
right.
take a shot on.
So a Cleveland Farrell out of Clemson, if he was there at 25, I'd take him over Marquise Brown.
100%.
So I don't hate the idea. I think it would be really fun. Like, I think if they did do it, I would get excited. Like, if you just, I mean, you put in the highlights and you'd be like, you add him with Alshon and Aguilar, it would be fun. But I think there would be better options because, again, that third receiver is a luxury, basically,
and you could
for
get
what
those
the Eagles
later,
already have.
Later in the draft, they probably will address it in free agency with, we talk about John Browns. Maybe they want Robbie Anderson, toss one of those fourth-round picks their way before he gets tendered. I just think there are many more options than a Marquise Hollywood Brown. But this is Philly. This ain't Hollywood. They're going to get some big boys in the trenches. They're going to get a big, historic defensive lineman. And I pray, give me Jeffrey Simmons. Give me a Christian Wilkins. Give me a Nasir Adderley, a Josh Jacobs, Dalton Reisner. There's plenty of talent in this draft for this Eagles team to address. And I think they're just going to hit it out of the park. I don't think you can miss at 25. And don't count trading down out of the question once again. I think this is a prime spot at 25 that somebody's going to fall. I put this out there the other day. the key to this draft and how things are going to develop is how these teams with young quarterbacks make their picks. Do they go for offensive weapons in DK Metcalf? Does a Hockenson go in the top 25? Or do they start to solidify their blind side? Go for an edge rusher?
Like a team like the Jets and the Bills.
Yes, the Jets and the Bills, Ravens, and Raiders are the teams that I'm looking at specifically. Those are going to be the key factors in this draft. But one way or another, they're going to get talent at 25.
All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of Locked on the Mock, Episode 3. Jeffrey Simmons in the first round this time.
Yes, so went, please.
What did you do in Locked on the Mock, Episode 1? Who'd you have in the first? Nazir?
Jeffrey Simmons.
Oh, you had Simmons. So
I did.
Two for Jeffrey Simmons,
Even
one for Josh
injury,
Jacobs.
I'd take him.
All right, we'll be back next week to have Locked on the Mock, Episode 4. We're going to do this every week, ladies and gentlemen, until the Eagles are on the clock at pick 25. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. Please follow all our Twitter accounts as we continue the conversation after the pod on Locked on Birds, at DiBiase LOE and at Gino_LOE. Got some great written content as well on LockedOnEagles.com. I just posted a story about why the Eagles should not trade Nelson Aguilar. We have our Eagles prospects meeting tracker. I don't know what a better title for that would be. Our prospects meeting tracker, we'll call
we'll go with that.
Where we just continue to list every prospect the Eagles have met with throughout the offseason, because it really does matter. So you can follow all of that as well on the mothership, LockedOnEagles.com. Once again, for Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. This has been Locked on the Mock, part of the Locked on Eagles podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.